We talk a lot about humility. And as I read through the book of Proverbs, and I hope you've been reading through Proverbs as well through this season, what immediately becomes clear when you read Proverbs is teachability is one of the ways we measure humility. Teachability is one of the ways we can figure out if someone's at all humble. Because a humble person will always be a teachable person. Why is humility important? Humility is an important attribute because it reflects the character of Jesus Christ. We can never say, well, humility is just not my thing. Let me do all these other things like kindness and love and generosity, but not humility. We don't get that option because humility is one of the key markers. It's one of the key attributes of Jesus Christ. So to pursue Christ's likeness is to pursue humility. And we measure humility in part by looking at a person's teachability. The need for humility, the need for a teachable spirit, it's a prominent exhortation in the book of Proverbs. Let me give a few examples. Proverbs 13, verse 1. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Solomon then reframes that same principle in 15:5 when he says, a fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. And then arguably the longest piece of instruction on teachability comes here at the end of Proverbs 15. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself. But he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Christian author David Kraft has asserted, there's no way to escape the fact that being teachable is foundational to spiritual growth and character development in all areas of our walk with the Lord. So again, this isn't a peripheral thing. You need not go home and have someone say, well, what did the preacher talk about today? Teachability. Is that really important? It is. It's foundational to our spiritual growth and to our character development. It may not surprise you to hear me say that a teachable spirit does not come easily to us. Some of you are here this morning and you're sitting next to people who live in your home. And you're thinking, boy, I hope she's listening, or I hope he's listening. Because a teachable spirit does not come easily to us. And it's often the case that we need to experience some kind of failure or some kind of embarrassment for us to become teachable. I must confess, I was not properly awakened to the need to have a teachable spirit until I got married. Allie and I, and by the way, Allie has given me full permission to talk this way. She's not here this morning. She's unwell. But she did give me permission to say that both she and I both struggled with being teachable early on in our marriage. And we had some challenges because of how fiercely independent each of us are. Well, 26 years later, we're still working on being teachable and having a teachable spirit with one another. But if this is not something you're working on, your lingering pride, your fierce independence will cause challenges in your relationships. I could give you hundreds of examples of this from my own marriage over the last 2.5 decades. But let me just give you 2 examples of how Allie and I have struggled with a teachable spirit. Now, I don't know if IKEA furniture was ever something that was popular in the Bahamas. I don't know if that's, you bring in IKEA furniture. Well, in Canada, if you're in your early 20s and you have very little money, IKEA furniture is your go-to option. Now, part of the reason IKEA furniture is so affordable is because you have to build the furniture yourself. So they give you the structural materials, they give you the nuts, they give you the bolts, they give you this Allen key that is designed, I think, to tear some of the skin off of your fingertips. I'm embarrassed to say that I was so unteachable in my early 20s that I was unwilling to consult the IKEA instruction manual for building furniture. Let alone, I wasn't asking Allie for help. There's no way I was going to ask for human assistance. But I was so unteachable, I was unwilling, I was insulted at the idea that I would need an instruction manual to build these cupboards. Now, it's one thing to decline assistance from someone in your own home, but imagine declining assistance from a manual written by experts. Look at verse 5 in this Proverbs. A fool despises instruction. Well, I had no basis. I had no justification for bypassing the instructions. There is no doubt I was a fool because I hated instruction. And just about every time I tried to assemble a piece of IKEA furniture, I would invariably install something backwards or upside down. But I had no one to blame but myself. Verse 32. Solomon was right to say, whoever ignores destruction despises himself. I would refuse assistance from Allie. I would refuse to read the manual, but I was furious with myself because I couldn't get it right. Again, with Allie's permission, I share the most memorable example of Allie not being teachable during our first years of marriage. Now, some of you will have a stove like the one we had. It was a stovetop where you had 2 large circular burners and 2 small circular burners. And I don't remember exactly what Allie was cooking on this particular day, but she had a very small pot and she put it on the large burner. Now, does that raise the attention of anyone else besides me? You're not supposed to put small pots on large elements. It's just not safe. And when I pointed this out as gently and as compassionately as I could to Allie, she dismissed it out of hand, saying that I was being too picky. Well, yes, I am a particular sort of person, but she was unwilling to listen to what I was saying. So I left her alone. I let her be. And within about 2 minutes of me making that suggestion, something amazing happened. Something vindicating happened. Allie had left an oven mitt in proximity to the exposed element, and within 2 minutes of dismissing my safety suggestion, the oven mitt caught fire. I have never been so happy about a kitchen fire in my life. Friends, I'm not just sharing illustrations. If your Bibles are open, that illustration is in the Bible. It's in Proverbs 16, verse 18. And I'm going to paraphrase it ever so slightly, but it's pretty much right on the money. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before oven-mitt destruction, and a haughty spirit comes before a kitchen fire. Why do I share these examples with you? Why does King Solomon place such an emphasis on being teachable? One of the reasons is being unteachable hurts relationships, while being teachable strengthens relationships. Very important. Being unteachable hurts relationships, while being teachable strengthens relationships. Being teachable shows respect to the one offering instruction. And it may be the case that you already know what is being taught. You already may know the answer. You might already have the information. But when you assume a teachable posture, you show respect to the one giving instruction. And when we do this, we strengthen the relationship that we have with that person. Friends, having a teachable spirit will endear you to other people. Having a teachable spirit will strengthen your relationships. Now, after saying all this, I don't want to convey that our progress towards teachability is constant and it's never interrupted. If we were charting this on a graph, we would not want to say that being teachable is up and to the right, always improving, always getting better. That's not what I want to convey. Like any godly attribute, there are ebbs and flows to how well we do in this area, as far as how well we display a teachable spirit. So let me briefly share with you a pattern that I've discerned in my own life. And those of you of similar age or older, let me leave it with you to decide if this has been your experience. So you did not know me when I was a much younger person. So let me just fill you in. Between the age of 14 and my early 20s, it was amazing. I knew everything there was to know about everything. Between age 14 and my mid-20s, I knew everything that there was to know about everything. Of course, this really wasn't the case, but you would have probably failed in convincing me otherwise. Thankfully, during my seminary years, during my early years of marriage, and my early years in ministry, these three contexts in my life began to expose a myriad of deficits in my understanding of things. It became painfully aware that I had a lot to learn. So for the next several years, let's call this my late 20s and my early, mid, late 30s, I think I became more teachable. And I can measure that by the way in which I sought out not only one mentor, but many mentors. I spent most of my late 20s and 30s being mentored by multiple people. For the first 12 years of my ministry, I understood that I didn't know a lot, and so I was constantly seeking instruction and assistance. And as I look back on those years, and as I was studying the Bible, there are particular biblical characters that I identified with. The story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. I identify with the prodigal son who was lost. I mean, I didn't literally fritter away an inheritance like the prodigal son, but I knew what it was like to drift from my upbringing, only to return in shame later on. I identified with the publican who prayed, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." But then as I got older, I began to identify with a different biblical character. I began to identify with the Pharisee. The Pharisees were good at keeping the rules. Externally, they had it all together. They were careful, meticulous people. They were righteous in their own eyes. To my shame, I identify with the Pharisees. And again, I share this because I don't want us to ever think that we've arrived when it comes to teachability. There was a season in which I was utterly unable to receive instruction. Then there was a season when I was very open to instruction. And then here I am in my late 40s, and I find myself thinking I know some things again. My proud mind reminds myself of my academic degrees and my academic awards. My proud mind reminds me that I've been married 26 years and that I've been an ordained minister for 23 years. You see, I'm tempted to regress back to my teen years where I thought I knew everything there was to know about everything. I need Solomon's words today, verse 31. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Friends, I want you to know that there is no point in my life and no point in your life when that statement is not true. Being teachable is not something we simply put on young people or persons whom we think are a bit naive. No, being teachable is a lifelong pursuit. Amen. It's a lifelong endeavor. My need for a teachable spirit is as acute this hour as it has ever been in my life. What about you? Any need for you to be teachable? Again, it's easier to look at people who are here with spouses or siblings or people you live with, parents, because you know who's the unteachable one in the household. There's elbows flying and glares turning. What about you? What is your posture like when someone tries to instruct you? This is a fun one for me to ask because here I am instructing you and I get to look at your posture. Now, never mind, I don't have my glasses on and I don't know who half of you are at the moment. What is your posture like when someone instructs you? Or perhaps more telling, what is your posture like when someone tries to correct you? What is your posture like when someone suggests that you're doing the wrong thing? If we agree that a teachable spirit is foundational to our spiritual growth and to our character development, what do we need to do? What do we need to do in order to grow in this area? What can we do in order to be more teachable? Once again, Solomon provides us with guidance. In 13:1, we are told a wise son hears his father's instruction. In 15:5, we are told whoever heeds reproof is prudent. In 15:31, the ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. I think we all know that there is a way to listen without really listening. There is a way to hear words in a physical sense without ever intending to heed them. And one of the ways we make progress towards being teachable is by actively listening to the instruction of others. And there's a qualifying word in there, to actively listen to the instruction of others. Well, how do we do that? A variety of things we can do to actively listen to others. First thing we can do is take notes. And some of you are doing that right now. Taking notes is a way to actively listen. Secondly, we actively listen when we set aside our distractions. Our distractions might be something in our purse, it might be a device, it might be someone moving about in the congregation. We actively listen when we set aside, physically or mentally, any distractions. We actively listen by making eye contact with the instructor, making eye contact with the person teaching. And we actively listen when we're intentional about trying to remember, retain, and apply that which we have been taught. One more personal example to drive this home. You're going to think a lot less of me as I finish all these examples today. I want to tell you about my Grandpa Irwin, because my Grandpa Irwin functioned like a father to me as I was growing up. My father died young, and so my Grandpa Irwin assumed that role and took it upon himself to teach me many, many things. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about my Grandpa Irwin. He was like a hero to me. He was born, I guess, right around World War I, and he was beginning as a farmer at the outset of the Great Depression. And as a result, when you're growing up in this era of war and then depression and then Second World War, you had to be industrious. You could not slack off in the least. You had to work as hard as possible, and you had to be versatile. You had to be nimble. You had to be able to do more than one thing. Well, my grandfather could fix just about anything. He could build and fix just about anything. And he tried to pass these skills on to me. And so I need to tell you, to my shame, you know, he taught me several times how to change the oil in my car, how to change the various fluids, how to do minor car repairs. He taught me how to build certain things. He taught me how to repair certain things. He taught me over and over and over again. He did his best to share his wealth of knowledge. But here's the thing. I don't know how to do any of those things today. I'm not being humble. I really don't. Don't call me over to change the oil in your car. I don't remember. Don't ask me to set up a set of cupboards for you. I don't remember. How is that possible? Did I bang my head? Maybe. With such a knowledgeable instructor, how is it that I don't know how to do all the things that he taught me? Well, it's clear to me how this is the case. You see, year after year after year, because I was a good boy, I would yield to my grandfather. I would quietly stand by, and I would physically watch and hear what he was saying. But because I was a know-it-all teenager, I wasn't taking in what he was telling me. I made no attempt to remember, no attempt to retain, no attempt to apply that which he was passing on to me. And so just about everything my grandfather taught me that was useful for my everyday life, I've forgotten. And yes, I share this example to you with embarrassment, but I also share it to you this morning with great intentionality. To be teachable requires that we be active listeners, that we intentionally heed and apply that which others are teaching us. What else? Is that it, Pastor? Just go be an active listener? Didn't need to come to church to get that information. Is there anything else? Yes. And this is the more important thing. To be more teachable requires that we come before the Lord in prayer. And that we come before the Lord and we confess that we need wisdom and that we need other people to instruct us. Part of the way we grow in being teachable is to constantly come before the Lord and say, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Teach me, Lord. Give me wisdom, Lord. Place people in my life, Lord, who will instruct me and help me and guide me in the way to go. Solomon closes out this section by connecting teachability with the fear of the Lord and with humility. So again, we can't just say teachability. It's not even a word in the Bible, Brent. Why are you bringing this to us? Because it's intimately connected to humility. And humility is connected to the character of Christ and to the fear of the Lord. And that's what Solomon does in verse 33. The suggestion is that genuine humility and a teachable spirit cannot be achieved nor sustained apart from our engaging the Lord.
Amen.
This is not something we can muster and sustain on our own. Think of all the commands in the Bible. You know, all the way from Genesis to the end of Revelation. Think of all the commands that we're to obey in the Bible. Think of all the characteristics, all the character traits with which a Christian ought to be marked. We're unable to be what we're designed to be unless God assists us. You see, the Bible's not a self-help book. I know if you go to Barnes and Nobles and all these bookstores, there's a self-help section. I hope there aren't any Bibles in that section. Because the Bible is not a here's how you help yourself section. The Bible is the great story about what has been achieved for you by the Lord Jesus Christ. And what His abiding Spirit strengthens you to do. The Bible is not a self-help book. It's a book about all that God has done to help and redeem you. We lack the ability to make ourselves wise. We lack the ability to make ourselves sufficiently godly. We need the Lord's help. And we need help from the Lord's people. Because one of the most common ways the Lord helps you and He helps me, one of the most common ways in which He helps us is through His people. So I urge you this morning, for the sake of your pursuit of Christ's likeness, I urge you, be teachable. Be teachable in Jesus' name. Amen.